Again, Hans and I exchanged glances. But we ended by taking the Bibles, wrapped in newspaper, out of the bags and handing them over. Then, asking God for protection, I took a plunge. There seemed to be no other way. "Is there somewhere we can talk?" I asked.
"Talk?"
"Well, frankly, these aren't the only Bibles we have." Ivanov caught his breath. "What do you mean? Just keep your voice low. How many Bibles do you have?"
"Over 100.
"You are joking. They're in our car at the camp." Ivanov thought for a moment. Then, without a word, he led us down a long corridor. When it turned a corner, he stopped suddenly, laid the Bibles on the floor, and held out his hands, palms down.
"Do you see those nails?" he said.
We stared at fingernails, ridged and thickened the way nails become when they have been damaged deep in their roots.
"I have spent my time in prison for the faith," Ivanov said. And this was the man who had told the visiting youth delegation that there was no religious persecution in Russia. "I will be frank with you. I cannot go through it again. I cannot help you with those Bibles."
I felt my heart go out to this man. "I know," I said. "We do not blame you. Perhaps, though, you know of someone else who might be willing."
"Markov," said Ivanhoff, "I will arrange with him to rent an automobile. He will meet you in front of the gum store at precisely 1 o'clock.
And then, as an afterthought, "but be careful."
Hans pointed to the little stack of Bibles on the floor.
"What about these? Don't you risk something taking these?"
Ivanov smiled, but his eyes remained sad as ever.
"Four Bibles," he said. "That's not a very serious economic crime. They're worth 400 rubles. How long do you go to jail for 400 rubles?
4 months at the most.
But 100 Bibles? That's worth 10,000 rubles here in Moscow. More in the provinces. 10,000 rubles worth of pornographic literature. Why, a man could—"
"Pornography," said both Hans and I together. "What does that have to do with us?"
"Nothing," said Ivanov, "except that if you are caught, that's what they'll accuse you of selling."
And then, as if receiving some sort of signal, he whirled on his heel, snatched the books from the floor, and walked rapidly away, his shoes clicking down the empty corridor as he disappeared from sight. That afternoon at 1 o'clock, we pulled up in front of the gum store. A man emerged from a car parked 100 yards away and strolled by, looking at us cautiously through the window. Then he strolled back again.
"Brother Andrew?"
"You're Markov," I said. "Greetings in the name of the Lord."
"We're going to do something very bold," said Markov, talking rapidly. "We're going to exchange the Bibles within 2 minutes of Red Square.